Well, as Dave mentioned, we're picking up tonight in chapter 21 of Exodus, and we're going to be hopefully making it through chapter 24 this evening. And as we pick up there in the 21st chapter, we find that Israel is there at the base of Mount Sinai receiving the law from the Lord. We're going to go back a little bit this morning in the history, though, and look at something that I think would be good for us to look at in a little more detail, and that is the situation that occurred there when Israel left Egypt there at the Red Sea. So if you want to open up to Exodus 14, that's where we'll eventually look to this morning. When Israel left Egypt, had they gone the normal route, they could have reached the Gaza area in about 10 days. But God had a different plan. His plan was to take them by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, a longer and more difficult way, but a way that would provide God with ample opportunity to show his care and power to his people. The Lord will often do the same thing today. If given the option, we would probably, all of us, take the easiest road in every situation. I know that I certainly would. But the easy road doesn't usually provide us with a whole lot of opportunities to see God work. And since God wants to work in our lives, he will at times lead us down the more difficult path just to show himself strong on our behalf. Not only will the Lord at times lead us down a difficult path, sometimes he will put us in what seems to be, from the human standpoint, an impossible situation. I have to say, I've talked to people in the past few months who, as they tell me their story, as they tell me about what's going on in their lives, I think to myself, man, that is challenging. And in some cases, from the human standpoint, it does seem that they are up against impossible odds. So what do we do if we find ourselves in a situation like that? Perhaps that's where you're at today. Well, we need to do the same thing the Lord instructed the children of Israel to do when they found themselves in an impossible situation, where there they were, backed up against the sea with Pharaoh's army closing in. And in the 13th verse of this 14th chapter, we have God's instruction. God had spoken to Moses, and now Moses is giving that instruction to the people. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." So here is Israel, an impossible situation. Back against the sea, mountain ranges on both sides, Pharaoh's army pressing in. It seems like a hopeless situation, but God has a plan. God is going to do the unthinkable. And so he gives the people this great instruction. And I have to tell you that the words that we just read here have so often been an encouragement to me and so often ministered to me. Pastor Phil and I, a few days ago, we went over to visit our good friend Bob Hoekstra and to pray for Bob. And as I've mentioned to you several times, Bob's been suffering with a real mysterious illness. Mayo Clinic hasn't even begun or been able to diagnose what's going on with him at this point. So anyway, we went over to see him and we spent some time praying with him. And as I was walking out the door, I just felt led to say, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And when I said it to Bob, he got a twinkle in his eye and he said, that's exact word the Lord's been giving me. So this is a portion of scripture that has brought encouragement and comfort to God's people all throughout the ages. So let's just break down the instruction that the people were given here. First of all, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. We have an inclination and a tendency toward being afraid, especially when we can't see what's up ahead, especially when we're not sure about our future. It's a very normal and a very typical response of everybody. Now you get your odd person here or there who says, oh, I'm not afraid of anything. Okay, well, I wish I was there. But I have to confess, there have been many times in my life when I have been afraid. But this admonition from God to man to not be afraid is repeated over and over again in Scripture. Why? Because of the tendency on our part to be fearful. Let me remind you of some of the places. Genesis 15:1, God speaking to Abraham, he says, fear not, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Abraham was fearful that he might be attacked and there might be a retaliation against him for his involvement in overthrowing these certain kings. God says, fear not, I am your shield. Isaiah 41:10, the Lord speaking says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Jesus, in speaking to his disciples, he said, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. God knows everything about you. He's numbered the hairs on your head. Don't be afraid. Jesus then would say, fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And then again, we find Jesus saying this in Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. He says, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. So be it. True. And I have the keys of hell and death. Those are great words of encouragement. What's the word? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God is with us. Don't be afraid. The Lord is our shield. Don't be afraid. The Lord is going to strengthen us, and he's upholding us with his righteous right hand. Don't be afraid. He knows all about our lives. He's numbered the hairs that are on our head. Don't be afraid. It's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom and to take care of us until we get there. Don't be afraid. The worst thing that could possibly happen is death and hell, but Jesus has conquered it. He has the keys over or of hell and death. And so this is that first word that God speaks. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. And whatever the situation that you find yourself in today that's causing you to be fearful, the Lord says to you, do not be afraid. Know that he's with you. Know that he has a plan and a purpose that he's going to accomplish. But then the second thing he says here, is that they were to not only not be afraid, but they were to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, standing still. And I think it's not a word that they were not to do anything, because we're going to see in a moment they were to do something. But when he says stand still, it's kind of like what we read there in Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. You see, what happens when we are fearful is that we oftentimes go into a panic. Fear brings on panic. And panic causes us to act frantically. And so, you know, when fear strikes us, we go into a panic, and then we just start sort of going in every which direction. And in the end, we're not really going anywhere. We're just sort of going in circles. We become frantic, and when we become frantic, we start to act irrationally. We're no longer thinking through the situation. We're quite often no longer remembering the promises of God. We go into an irrational sort of a spin out. And we start thinking and imagining and even plotting things that under normal circumstances we would never think of. See, this is all the things that come along with this kind of fear that can strike us. But the Lord's word to us is be still. Stand still. In other words, the idea here is to be calm, to rest in faith, and to watch and see what God will do. Watch and see what God will do. Because he's promised to do something. And faith says, I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to act frantically. I'm not going to become irrational and start making all kinds of bad decisions. And of course, in that state, what we also often fail to do is to pray. We don't pray. We don't stop and say, Lord, what am I to do? Well, if we did, God would say, be still and know that I'm God. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You see, God has something that he is going to do in this situation. Now, like I said a few moments ago, I have met people, and it seems recently that I have had conversations with people who, when they have told me the situations they're going through, I'll tell you, I've just thought, Lord, this is crazy. Lord, what is going on? And the only thing I've been able to do is to say to these people, look, your situation is so impossible from a human standpoint, it must mean that God's got something great in store for you, so you have just got to trust him and wait to see what happens. There's a young girl who's in one of our schools here, and I was in a conversation with her one day. Actually, she came up and asked me for prayer because of a situation that's going on in her family. And when she told me what was happening, it had to do with some legal action that was being taken against the family and all of this. And as she told me the story, it was astounding that here this godly family, this Christian family, who have done nothing except sought to reach out and love to their neighbors. Just a really bizarre twist on things. And there's been harassment by the police and threats of jail and all kinds of just really bizarre kinds of things. Something that you would see in a TV docudrama or something, you know. And man, as she was telling me that, my heart was breaking. And then I ended up getting into contact with her family. I spoke to her mother on the phone, and I have a friend who's an attorney, and I tried to kind of get them hooked up. But anyway, through this whole process, I talked to her just a few days ago. And at one point, this poor young gal, she was really almost on the verge of a nervous breakdown. A lot of this attack was coming right directly at her, where they had had a warrant out for her arrest and all of this insane stuff for things that she did not even do. So anyway, as I talked to her the other day, I noticed that she was smiling. I noticed that she was a little more lighthearted. And I asked her how things were going. And she began to tell me how God is working this thing out. And it was so encouraging because when we talked at first, from her perspective and from the perspective of her family, it just didn't seem like there was any way out of the situation. But just entrusting it to the Lord, just recognizing God is at work here, and don't worry, he's got a plan. You know, Amy Carmichael used to say that God is seldom early, but he's never late. And that's a truth. He's seldom early. In other words, he lets things go right down to the wire. We see that right here. These guys, their back is up against the sea, and Pharaoh's army is closing in. And boy, Lord, it looks like we are had. It looks like we're not going to survive. And right at the last minute, boom, God comes through. And he still works in that way many times today. So we're to stand still. We're to be calm. We're to rest in faith. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Our part is just to believe God and to rest in him and to know that God is going to take care of this situation. He's going to take care of the situation. And then Moses reminds them, he says, "The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace." The battle belongs to the Lord. And sometimes we will find ourselves in a situation where there's opposition or something coming against us. And you know, quite often, I have to confess that I myself, quite often, I am tempted to fight for myself many times. And when I'm tempted to fight for myself, the Lord will sort of tap me on the shoulder, so to speak, and just say, "No, Brian, you don't want to go that direction. The battle's not yours. The battle is mine. Let me fight the battle for you." And that's what Moses is saying to the people here. He's saying that the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. So there's that place where we are just, what Moses is describing here is just a complete trust in God. We've done everything we know to do. We've exhausted every possible resource, perhaps. And it seems now that the only remaining thing is to just go down with the ship. But guess what? The ship's not going down. God's got a plan. He's going to work the situation out. And so we need to remember that the Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you. Years ago, when I was suffering with an illness, a serious season of suffering, and along sometimes with illness, you know, those of you that have battled chronic kinds of illnesses or things like that, you know, a lot of times right alongside of that physical affliction, there is a spiritual battle that is taking place. The enemy takes advantage of our weaknesses and he comes in and he just tries to discourage us and tries to ruin us and tries to overthrow our faith, and those things happen. And I was in the midst of something like that, and it was a situation where, you know, I kept forgetting that the battle belonged to the Lord, and I kept trying to take it back into my own hands and try to sort of fight the enemy off in my own ability through my reason and those kinds of things. But, you know, when you're physically weakened, everything else is weakened as well. And the Lord had been speaking to me just very subtly in my heart to just rest in him, to know that he would take care of it. But I just, for whatever reason, I just kept thinking that, you know, I have to fight through this myself. And there I was in a place of deep depression and on the verge of despair. And I'll never forget, I was sitting there And I asked Cheryl to hand me, I wanted to jot something down, so I asked her if she would hand me a little piece of paper that was across the room. And she picked up a little card and she tossed it to me. And it, you know, floated through the air and flipped a couple of times. And it landed right on my little tray there. And it landed face up with these words, "The battle is the Lord's, he will fight for you." And I thought, okay, God, I got the message. And he did. He fought for me. I'm still here. I'm still, I survived. So, but we need to know that. The battle is the Lord's. He will fight for us, and we can hold our peace. We don't have to fight for ourselves. Now, the Lord goes on to say to them that they are to go forward. I think this is very significant because whenever we find ourselves up against these kinds of overwhelming circumstances or these seemingly impossible situations from the human standpoint, one thing that tends to happen a lot is the enemy wants to, of course, just sort of stop us in our tracks. He wants to immobilize us. He wants to bring us to that place where we quit, we give up. But look, the Lord says to Moses, tell the people to go forward. And this is what the Lord says to us. He says, don't be afraid. Stand still and see my salvation. I will fight for you. You will hold your peace. You go forward. You keep moving ahead in your relationship with the Lord. You keep moving ahead in whatever it is that God has called you to do. Don't let these things stop you or impede you or bring you to that place where you're just, you know, dragging yourself along, but keep moving forward in what you know to be God's call and God's plan and God's purpose for your life. Because in just a matter of time, God will remove these issues and you're going to see that, glad I didn't stop. Glad I didn't slow down. Glad I kept making progress because it's all clear sailing ahead for a while, anyway. But you might say, okay, Pastor Brian, that all sounds good, you know, but my situation is different. My situation is impossible. I cannot even begin to imagine that there's anything that could really be done. I can't see how this thing could ever turn around and somehow be a blessing. I can't see it. But you see, that's okay. Because God can see it. I am absolutely convinced that the last thing the Israelites ever thought was going to happen in this situation was that the sea behind them was going to part and they were going to walk through on dry land. If Moses would have said, okay, I just talked to the Lord and he said he wants to help you guys come up with a plan and then he'll implement it. Had Moses taken suggestions from the crowd, you know, some would have said, okay, well, tell God to kill Pharaoh and all of the Egyptians before they get here. Okay, that sounds like a good plan. You know, tell God to, you know, any number of things that they could have come up with. But I don't think a single one of them would have said, tell God to part the sea and we'll walk through it on dry ground. Because that was something that would have never entered their mind. And isn't it true? And we've all seen it. All of us who have walked with the Lord for a time, we've seen that God will do things that are so amazing we will be astounded and we'll think to ourselves, Lord, that is the perfect solution, but I never would have dreamed in a million years that that's what you would have done. So don't get hung up on trying to figure out how God's going to fix it, how God's going to solve it. That's what sends us back into the state of depression. That's what sends us into that valley of despair. Because with our own minds and our own abilities, we're thinking in those terms. But, well, how could this be done? Or how could that be done? But remember, there's nothing that's too hard for the Lord. There's nothing that's too hard for the Lord. So there's not a single situation, as impossible as it might seem from the human standpoint, there's not a single situation that is even difficult for God. God can do anything that needs to be done. And because we're his people, because he's committed to us, because he loves us, because he's called us according to his purpose, all of those things that seem to be bad things are actually things that he is able to take and turn around for his glory, working out all things for good to those who love him. And so as we have confidence in those things, we come to that place of rest. And we come to that place of expectation. And there we are, right where God wants us to be. We're in that place of faith. Because faith is the one thing that God is looking for in our lives. He's looking for us to trust him. So maybe you find yourself in a similar situation to the Israelites, similar in the sense that you find yourself in an impossible situation from your standpoint. Yeah, I thought it was interesting when Carl was opening up in prayer this morning, because Carl didn't have any idea what I was speaking on this morning, but he was praying about people being in crisis. Crisis maybe with their family, or maybe crisis in the area of finances, or crisis in the area of health. And I would imagine that there are a fair number of you today that you find yourself in a crisis in one of these areas or more, or maybe another similar kind of a situation. You find yourself, like I mentioned with our good friend Bob, you find yourself in a health crisis where there just doesn't seem to be any solution. There doesn't seem to be any answer. There just doesn't seem to be anything that can be done about the situation. What is the Lord's word? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Be still and know that I'm God. Know that God is working on your behalf. Maybe it's a financial situation. And again, I've talked to many people, and you might be one of them, where you find yourself in an unbelievable situation. I was talking to a man the other day who told me, you know, he said, 2 or 3 years ago, I had plenty of money in the bank. I owned my house. Everything was secure. I was doing great. And I don't have a penny left to my name. I've lost my house. I'm not even able to make my payment. You know, and a good man, a godly man, a man who loves the Lord, but just fallen on these hard times. These kinds of things happen. But you know what? None of this escapes God's attention. He knows what's going on. Now, Satan tries to take advantage of these things. And when you find yourself in a situation like that, the devil will come in and say, hey, look, God hasn't taken care of you, has he? God said he was going to provide for you. He said he was going to bless you. He hasn't done any of that stuff. Well, maybe there isn't a God. Or maybe God doesn't really love you. Or maybe God expects you to go out and do something yourself. But maybe it's something that's unethical or something that you know really you shouldn't do. See, the enemy will come in with these kinds of things, but this is where we have to fall back and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you to bring me through this time, to bring me through this season. And these are the real crises in life. Years ago when I was pastoring, there was a young man in our church. He was a boy. He was, I think, 12 or 13 at the time. And they discovered a melanoma on his leg. And the cancer had gone into his lymph glands. And, of course, everybody was greatly concerned. And the family and us, we prayed for the young man. And I remember his mother just saying very confidently, "I know the Lord's going to heal him." And then she said this. She said, "It's in situations like this where we have to believe God because we don't have any other options." And see, that's the thing that God will do. He will put us in a situation where we are literally shut up to Him, so we have no other options. But here's what we need to know: He's faithful. He's going to come through. It might not be in the timing that we think, or it might not be before certain things happen that we think shouldn't happen. But you know, give it enough time. When the Lord comes through and you see what He does, you'll look back and you'll say, "Okay, Lord, you were not late. You were not late, and now I see why you couldn't have even come earlier. Because these things that I thought I needed, or these things that I thought were important, or these things that I had as a priority in my life, all of these things were things that you wanted to deal with." You see, God is wanting to deal with us and with things in our lives, as well as bring us to a place of trusting Him. But there's something crazy about us human beings. There's something crazy where we fight against that. We want to do it ourselves. I know people who I look at their life and I think, okay, this is like your fifth wake-up call. It's like my daughter. I call her at least five times to wake her up. And every time she says, five more minutes. No, I'm not giving you five more minutes. Get up now. But you know, the Lord gives wake-up calls. He brings things along, and we ignore the wake-up call. And I know certain people, and I marvel. I think, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting for a nuclear explosion over your head? What are you waiting for? God wants us to trust Him. And He's using these things to prove Himself, to show Himself great and glorious and powerful in our lives. But He's also using them to do some things in our lives that need to be done. And maybe it's family issues. There's a lot of challenging things going on in families today, aren't there? And in many cases, we're exhausted. We don't even, we've run out of options for help. Where do we go? What do we do? Of course, the Lord is where we go. We go back to Him, and we go back to Him over and over again. And we keep crying out, and we keep asking Him to intervene and to work. And we trust that in His time, the right time, He's going to do that. So, in closing, if you find yourself in an impossible situation, where your back is against the sea, so to speak, and the enemy's forces are closing in on you, what do you do? Do not be afraid. Be calm. Be still. Know that He is God. Watch and see what the Lord will do. And in the meantime, you just keep moving ahead in your faith. Don't let the enemy slow you down. Don't let him sidetrack you. Don't let him sideline you. Keep moving forward. And as you're moving forward, you're going to see God take care of this situation. just as Israel did. God says, tell them to move forward. Moses, lift up your rod over the sea. And it all sort of was coming together simultaneously there. And as we keep moving forward, we're going to see all of these things in God's perfect time just be dealt with, be taken care of. And in the meantime, we can rest. We can rest, not living in a state of panic, not living in a continual state of anxiety, but being in a place of saying, I'm trusting the Lord, and I believe he's going to come through. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. And Lord, for this great, great word that you spoke to Israel all of those ages ago there at the shore of the sea, when you did what no one would have ever dreamed that you would do. You parted the sea so they could go through on dry ground. And Lord, you know that there are many today that are right there. Their back is up against the sea, the enemy's pressing in, maybe in the area of health, maybe in the area of finances, maybe in the area of family, maybe in some other unmentioned area, but Lord, you know it all. And your word, Lord, is to fear not, but to trust you and to watch and to see what you will do and to keep moving forward. So Lord, help us. Help us to do that, to take this word to heart. And Lord, again, I pray especially for those today that this message is, it was made for them. They know who they are. You know who they are. May they lay hold of by faith this great word of encouragement, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand together. The pastors are here up front this morning, and if God's maybe spoken to you really specifically something in your life that has just been addressed by the word this morning, and you want to get prayer for that situation, you want to get prayer that you can take and apply this to your life, that you can really lay hold of the promises of God by faith and walk in that peace of mind that God wants to give you, come on up and let the guys pray for you. They'd love to. And you can be set free today from the worry, from the anxiety, from the fear, and you can enjoy God's peace. So may God bless you and keep you and fill you and just do all the good things that he wants to do in and through your lives in the week to come.